Have you ever wanted to discover what's missing in your life? Metaphysics is available to all and is part of your life even if you don't know it. Welcome to Metaphysics, a view through the veil with Barb Crowley. Together we'll explore the mysteries behind metaphysics and how to use it to have a deeper understanding and advantage in life. And now here's your host, Barb Crowley.
Hi, this is Barb Crowley, and welcome to Metaphysics of Youth in the Veil. Today, we're talking to Maja Daou. Maja is a professional astrologer with more than 20 years' experience integrating her master's degree in transformational psychology into the interpretation of thousands of natal charts. A practicing witch and scholar of alchemy and occult lore, she is the author of many books because rather than go through it all, you know, but this book, The Shadow Self, now is that the right name?
Yeah, it's titled Astrology of the Shadow Self, Working with Oppositions in Your Natal Chart.
Yeah. And what I love about this is she starts off by giving you a warning that you will be triggered. I love that. But hey, thanks for being on the show. I really do appreciate it. And I'm fascinated by, you know, a lot of the things that you're talking about. I have to say, I am not a student of astrology, and I completely get overwhelmed when everybody gets into the technical aspects of it. So, you know, of course, I was busy trying to look up my own sign and didn't do real well.
Yeah. So, it's a lot of data. Yeah,
it
there's
is
so much
quite
data
a lot.
In astrology.
Yeah.
Yes.
Quite a lot. And in your book. So, you know, let's start with the shadow self. What is the shadow self, and why do you start with the warning?
Yes, absolutely. The shadow self is essentially all of the parts of ourselves that we would rather not see, or that we try to shove away and out of sight, the hiding of the corpse, so to speak, where we take all those things that we just rather not have in our conscious awareness. This happens on an individual level and then also throughout society, right? So there's so much just sublimating into the underworld of all of our nastier bits of our behavior as human beings that it creates a kind of schism in us, really, because it creates these biases, even if it's a negativity bias or a positivity bias that wants to leave out a large portion of reality so that we can see ourselves in a better light to try to keep the horrifying parts of our behavior out of sight and out of mind. So the shadow self can incorporate behaviors that people do. It can be aspects of our behaviors as a collective humanity as well. Most people are familiar with the concept of the shadow self through Carl Jung, the psychologist, and a lot of people will reference shadow work in speaking with Carl Jung. However, as many witches and pagans know, shadow work has been part of the practice for thousands and thousands of years. So I really wanted to reintegrate this history of working with our shadows, which is a large part of pagan rituals of the past, extending into most indigenous cultures as well. They recognize that we have a shadow component, and that there is this like other part of us. And in a lot of other cultures, they view it as related to the world of death, realms of the underworld and things like this. So it can certainly be a very scary thing for people to approach, especially when we get into the death stuff, because in our present culture, we have almost no languages to talk about death with each other. And it's another thing that's sort of kept out of sight and out of mind, unless you experience it directly. And then usually people are traumatized by it, so they can't really get too much into it.
I see a lot of shadow work in shamanism, which is,
yes,
you know, is that witchcraft and pagan, what we call witchcraft and pagan, but shamanism, what is the difference? You know, you're probably not prepared for this one.
Oh, no, I love these conversations. Okay. That's a very good point. Yeah, there's a lot of different words people will use. But yeah, shamans are, you know, indigenous practitioners for the most mm-hmm. part of a cultural heritage of usually healing work, but also on larger levels, spiritual investigations. So shamanism is absolutely included as well. I feel like some people might set it apart from witchcraft, but I would say probably most shamans are pagans. So mm-hmm. paganism would be the kind of largest umbrella you could put over all okay. of them. Yeah.
So shamanism is witchcraft, but just
they'll
a different culture.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Well, and the word shaman is kind of a stinker, too, because a lot of that word comes from Siberian areas. So mm-hmm. a lot of other cultures have different words for yeah. their, like, you know, medicine workers or kind of what we would consider a shaman, but they all have different words for those practices. So I encourage people to go check out, like in, you know, Spanish traditions, it's curandero or, you know, stuff like that. So there's a lot of different words. It's certainly confusing.
Is yeah. it mostly the same practice, but different words?
Yeah, I think that most of the practices tend to revolve around, I would say they'll include, you know, astral travel, psychic means of gaining information. They'll usually mm-hmm. do vision quests. They'll work with plants, right? They'll work with right. ancestors, and they'll work with cosmic energies and the stars. So usually it'll have some component of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they all use shadow work.
Yes, and have for so long. Right. And so I do think it's strange that most people only think of that as something Carl Jung like made up, but
yeah,
it's not. It's very
old. Actually stolen.
He was reading a lot about alchemy, you know, so he mm-hmm. was studying alchemical manuscripts and texts, among other things. But he went into deep study of the alchemical work, which, of course, goes to Egypt, where they did a lot of shadow work and shadow practices, which I mention in my book. So for him, I feel like it came through. Also, there was a very famous book called Der Doppelganger. Right? Everyone's familiar with the word doppelganger.
Yeah.
And so that came out of Otto Rank, who was also studying alchemy and astrology as well. So many of them were also studying astrology. And it kind of happened because in Germany and Austria, there was a large group of psychologists and scientists that were all studying alchemy. So then it kind of like burgeoned into modern psychology, which a lot of people don't know.
And astrology, you say, is psychological, is really the study of the psychological.
That's right. And the psyche. A mm-hmm. lot of influence for those psychologists, including Sigmund Freud, Wilhelm Reich, Carl Jung. They were all studying actually in Vienna, and mm-hmm. they read books by like Anton Mesmer, Anastasius Kircher, all these like alchemy astrology works. So it was very influential to them.
In your book, before we get to the, well, first of all, I have to bring this up.
Yes, please.
Without tools, can we ever truly see ourselves?
Well, that's why I do like just looking at the stars, I feel like is one of the things you know, like you said, not everyone's going to know about astrology because it has mm-hmm. so much data. But I do feel like you can do like ecstatic states just by experiencing different things with nature that kind of just requires your body and your mind, you know. So, but I guess some people would argue that those are techniques as well. Right. You know, I don't know how, but I do feel like just looking at the stars and experiencing awe
mm-hmm.
can be a biggie. You know, I feel like awe right. and wonder do quite a bit.
But I think we have to go outside of ourselves to see ourselves, to really know ourselves. Part of that is we don't like sides of ourselves that we don't know. And we really, I honestly don't think we can see ourselves truly. Mm-hmm. We just talk about too close.
You know? That's our shadow. It's blocking part of our view, kind of as a self-protection mechanism, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
And I'm in the Western part, so I put shadow with negative. But even the good side, we can't see.
That's true, too. A lot of people, what do they call that? Aristotle, I believe, called it false humility. Right, which is also a problem as well. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. I don't think we can see ourselves. But so before you get into the astrology part, you actually go through quite a bit of background on the in your book, along with shadow work, instinct, and role of nature, where you were talking about that a little bit here. But you want to talk about it a little bit more deeply?
Absolutely. One of my favorite things I include in the book, which I don't feel like a lot of other people do, they kind of leave that out in a in a bit of a shadow behavior, is that a lot of times we get a little highfalutin, right? Where we talk about ourselves as humans, but mm-hmm. we keep that separate, like as if we're different from the rest of the natural world or the rest
above,
of the animal.
We're
above. Yes. So we will be like, oh, well, this is us and that's animals or that's nature. And so I really think it's important, and especially in doing shadow work, we have to understand like the role of nature within us and without us that plays into these shadow behaviors. And for each example in my book, I give an example where it's seen in nature, either through animals. So like people will think like, oh, isn't this behavior awful? Like we could think of, and I go through all of the terrible behaviors. So, and just to let your listeners know, and I'll be, you know, conscientious, but we're talking about awful things, you know, murder,
Give an example.
Rape, you know, stealing, colonizers, racism, anything you can think about.
Right. Even down to lying.
Deceit, all of the gaslighting, any mm-hmm. unpleasant behavior. And I tried hard to show how animals also do these things, which I think a lot of people feel like animals don't have that level of awareness.
That capacity,
Animals lie to each other and trick each other. And those are things that are in the capacity of nature. So we can't really think that we own mm-hmm. the negative behaviors, because that's very arrogant. If it's something that exists in all these other species in nature, I feel like we really have to look at it broader to mm-hmm. to raise our understanding of it, because I feel like we're so narrow-minded with trying to shame and denigrate this behavior that it's not helping us to come up out of it by just keeping it low like that.
And you believe that we have to take in all the shadow as well as the good stuff. I'll put it
we
that
sure
way.
Do.
All aspects of ourselves in order to merge, to become the whole.
We do, but it's hard work too. So not everyone mm-hmm. has to do all of it. I want to stress, right? This by no means says we just have to put up with it or that it's okay either, right? Mm-hmm. And certainly if we've been a victim of someone else's shadow behavior, it's not our job to then go and fix them either.
Right.
We have to help people that have been victimized, and we need larger ways to assist to work through dealing with our shadow as a whole. So I think it's a really big job, certainly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we're an individual and we do a large amount of shadow work on ourselves, we still have to deal with everybody else's shadow too.
Right, so
there's no escape, right? And then even if humans raise it, we still have to deal with nature and the animals and their shadow behavior, which is going to seek to do some of these negative behaviors.
Where do animals lie? I know they'll try to pretend that there's something else so that they're safe. But where do they lie?
That's one of the examples I use is like camouflage or mimicry, right? Mm-hmm. But they'll do really nasty, deceitful things. For example, you can see the cuckoo bird that goes and lays its egg in the nest to look like the other bird's egg. And then it'll actually murder the chick of the other bird when it hatches and pushes it out of the nest and then tricks the parents into raising it. There's also in a lot of different monkey species like chimpanzee or baboons, they'll actually hide things from their fellows or like steal food and then pretend they'll like put on a charade, right, to try to hide things. So it actually gets very extensive. And a lot of researchers have been uncovering some of these behaviors as they study animal behaviorism. It's showing up more and more.
Mm-hmm. So they're not very different from us.
Yeah. They're not. Everybody wants to survive and live. So when I talk about instinct, there's just a certain amount of you that's going to want to live, to survive, to thrive, right? To make it, to hit that goal. And so there's just a lot of ways that people will justify, or even corporations, right? Or on these larger levels, they're going to use justification for why it's okay that they did these things because they have to survive. They have to win. They wanted something. They needed something. Right. So of course they're going to do this, right?
The awareness. I mean, sometimes we're very aware and many times we have no awareness at all that we're doing
this. That's right. Ignorance. Right?
A or lot of denial.
Denial as well play huge roles. I mean, it's so offensive too, right? And what tends to happen is that the perpetrators of these behaviors go into full denial or gaslighting to their victims, almost like pretending nothing happened, or even that they have hidden it so far from themselves that they have lost their awareness of these events.
That I think, you know, there's a lot of deep denial that we are that person, you know?
Yes.
And often we hate that in another person because we are that person, you know?
If
the
we
very
can
thing
see it, yeah,
had,
as like a survival instinct on their part where maybe their consciousness has literally removed it from their awareness in order to protect their ego, I think it will help us to kind of even deal with the emotions that we're going to have as we confront someone that is standing in those shadow behaviors.
Mm-hmm. And not only protecting, we don't like ourselves.
That's right.
You know, when we see this side of ourselves that is not maybe very nice, we don't like ourselves.
Self-loathing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shame, the feeling of shame.
Or I don't see a whole lot of shame out there anymore. Have we gotten rid of shame?
I feel like people are shaming individuals that aren't holding shame. So it's like not working, right? So they kind of are using these big shame strategies to project shame onto perpetrators or these heinous actions. But the perpetrators have no shame about what they've done, obviously.
None.
So it's not... it's just not a good strategy to use when someone is in this like vibration because you're not going to deal with it that way. They don't care.
They, I know, but it, you know, 30, 50 years ago, people did care. So,
yes.
I mean, do some of these attributes actually go away? You know,
that's a good question. I do feel like some of the morality has shifted because when people did care, there's been so much manipulation of good like kind of caring towards each other that gets manipulated and then they get taken advantage of or kind of also victimized. So then it has like eradicated our care for each other. Cause like, why should I care about them? I'm suffering too. So we're getting this almost like battle of the victims happening where everyone needs to be, there's like a victim competition in order to get recompense for our terrible violations. But if you can't get like enough attention from the greater, you don't get any assistance, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like a lot of the loss of some of that is because of this weird competitorship between like, well, how bad was your victimization? And maybe you can get help if it's a popular victimization, right?
But it's also a justification to do the actual behavior where people say, well, I'm sitting here like an idiot and this person's walk away with the prize. I have to go for the prize. You know,
that it's the ultimate justification.
It is.
Because why am I not allowed to, but they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people just lose their morality because it's not applied to them. So why should they hold it, right? Mm-hmm. What's the benefit then at that point?
Are there things that can kind of no longer be of use to humans? Like shame, you know, going away, it's no longer of use and maybe falls away. You know, it's like evolution will get rid of things we no longer use.
It's really accurate.
Have reason for. Yeah, have reason.
I feel like as a society, right? It's true. Well, those basic kind of things that uphold things that are going to be like the moral laws or whatever, they have to shift and grow with the society and see what's working. And then we have to shed what no longer serves.
Yeah.
Right. In our strategies. And I feel like we need new strategies to handle.
It's certainly the old ones aren't working anymore.
We need new strategies is my feeling. And we have to grow. We have to grow.
And you have a certain large piece on ancient wisdom and shadow work. Are you seeing things like where now we have to change and grow because some of our things no longer work? Do you see in history, when you go back to the ancient wisdom, that some things that work there are no longer part of our, you know, our world or our work?
So what I personally have seen, and I could be incorrect, and I always welcome correction, right? Because otherwise I wouldn't be a very good shadow worker. But I feel like so many of the pagan traditions were forcibly removed, made taboo, right? Genocided. So many cultures that held practices of shadow work were eradicated for whatever
reason. Give me an
reason.
Example of that.
Well, so we can look at indigenous cultures being genocided and then replaced with Christianity. I'm certainly not blaming Christianity. It's just what happened as a result.
Right.
So none of those practices for doing shadow work survive when everyone gets converted into these other methods of being. So we lose all of the techniques and the tools, right? Mm-hmm. So,
but that wasn't an evolution of unneeded aspects. That was
a forcible
a destruction.
Event.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
A destruction. So I think that for me, I don't think it naturally was not included. I feel like it was eradicated, right? For however you want to look at it, whether the justification was for to get the resources, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that it was to place those practices into taboo. I think it was as simple as stealing all the resources was why it happened, right? They wanted the land. Yeah. They wanted the gold. They wanted the stuff. So
and they wanted control over.
Control, correct.
Yeah. Control's a biggie. Yeah.
I feel like in esoteric wisdom and literature, even as recent as Greek practices. There was so many methods to deal with shadow and practice it, and then it all was lost through the genocides, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What is space shadows?
Oh yeah,
space shadows.
For space shadows, I talk about how scientifically every planet casts a shadow. We're in the middle of experiencing two of those right now with the big eclipses, right? We just had the lunar eclipse, which eclipses always come in pairs. If folks don't know, we have always both a lunar and a solar eclipse, and they're kind of like a pair.
I didn't know that, right? I had no idea.
I do have a chapter on eclipses as well, both the lunar mm-hmm. and the solar, because I think a lot of people... You just hear there's an eclipse, but you don't really
I didn't know they came in pairs. Yeah.
They're mated pairs with the sun and moon. Yes. Yeah. And there's very special things that happen in the pocket in between energetically, which I get into in more depth. But in outer space, there are real shadows that are cast, just like we as humans have like a real shadow that we cast mm-hmm. on the ground from the sun. Right. So and you can measure these shadows and they fall in those locations. So the idea of having a shadow from each of the planets, right? Venus, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, there is a real physical shadow that happens there called the umbra, right? Is the fancy word for it. And the Earth also has an umbra. The Earth's umbra is night.
Oh. Wow.
When it's night, we're literally in the shadow of the Earth,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's important to, I feel like tying these things into these larger bodies in space is really important for people to understand that these things are like a meta experience mm-hmm. that not only we experience, but that happens on a planetary level, which is why we can like relate it back to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to go back since we are in between the moon and the sun eclipse. What is the energy in between?
Yes. I've been practicing, you know, astrology, and I have a lot of people that I speak with. I have a lot of clients and people that I help. Mm-hmm. You know, through all kinds of things. So I always pay attention to what comes up in the eclipses, and I study it in history too. And so my opinion here is based on experiential as well as kind mm-hmm. of what I've sorted through. And what I find is that during the lunar eclipse, which will happen first, we'll have all the emotional energy rises to the surface, mm-hmm. right? Everyone becomes lunatics, right? Where the emotions all come up and we get all of these shadow responses to events, whether it's fear response, mm-hmm. right? Flight. People will usually have their core response happen at the lunar eclipse. And then we have the period of time until the solar eclipse where we have to raise into our awareness and integrate what we did at the lunar eclipse or what we saw everybody else do. Because by the time the solar eclipse happens, we have an opportunity to kind of have like a revelation or bring it to light, to work it through, to mm-hmm. make some progress, right? To have it raise into our awareness. So I always, and every lunar eclipse, I get so many calls from clients, whether they know about the eclipse or not, everyone's like, why is everything so crazy right now?
Am I crazy?
Hundreds of people, at least from my perspective, my little perch I sit on, which I'm always so grateful because I get to see a sort of broader view through mm-hmm. each of the individuals. I'm sure you are similar with, because you, I think, have clients too.
I do, but I just thought they were crazy. Everybody's crazy right now. Because I don't know the astrology
the eclipses.
Part. Yeah.
If you, I try to track the patterns, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, wow, everybody's calling now, right?
Yeah.
And through the years, I'll notice that there are seasonal cycles as well. Maybe you've noticed that, like even on a larger level, you'll see like your busy times, right?
Yeah.
Always
you know what?
Hit.
Because of the lunar eclipse, now I'm going to go back and see, well, you know, how many clients did I have during that period versus a different period? Yeah.
Yes. And then on the solar eclipses, most mm-hmm. folks will have positive news or positive change or see like obstacles break through or kind of get things, especially mm-hmm. if they really sit. You have to like really sit in that emotional energy that rises during the lunar eclipse, which of course mm-hmm. is very uncomfortable.
That's what I was going to say. Really tough. Most people
really
don't.
Tough. Yeah. We're mostly going to try to sweep it under the rug, right?
Or run away.
Or run away.
Yeah.
So this last one was in Libra. So almost everybody had relationship stuff explode. If there was feelings left unsaid or kind of things that were below the surface, it all erupted in their relational like kind of confrontations that were forced from the energy. So over this, most people, and we see that on a global level too, right?
When I was just kind of thinking about the global level. Yeah.
You're right on track. Yeah. You can see it. It'll happen on
what did you see in this on the eclipse?
So you can see we saw events with the Gaza-Israel situation, right? Mm-hmm. And it'll be tracking on the day. I always try to see too what happens with the politics on both the lunar and the solar eclipses. And then I like compare them. So we had events with Russia, Ukraine too. So it'll always like hit on the dates, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
are we looking for some resolutions on the 8th then?
My fingers are crossed. I hope that there'll be something that'll kind of come together and harmonize, hopefully, because the people, you know, everybody suffers. So we want to have these things raise up into awareness so that we can, you know, take care of some of these shadow behaviors that always cause conflict, that cause fighting, that cause atrocities, you know, when we get up to large enough levels. So,
and we're getting to the point where it used to be whole tribes. Now it's like one guy doing it, or two guys, you know, or one guy in their own areas. It's
the kings,
we're down
the kings.
To that. Yeah.
I know.
And if
I know.
We can stop the one guy, you know, it's always guys too.
In my book, a lot of that falls under shadows of Saturn. Mm. So Saturn energy is usually that masculine, divine masculine, should be divine masculine. But then the shadow of the masculine is that patriarchy energy that where they have to rule everyone, right? And these kind of fathers or patriarchs that get into Saturn shadows. In the myth of Saturn, he like eats all his children so he can remain in power, right? We see, and these mythologies are also very helpful for us to understand these behaviors. Then similarly in nature, we'll have like alpha animals that kill their own young and push everybody out of the way so that they can stay as ruler, right? Mm-hmm. So it's that kind of like apex energy where they have to hold their position as king of the hill, right?
And
they won't share.
Now,
there's no sharing. They can't figure out how to share, right?
Well, they don't share. They don't trust because they're afraid you're going to do what they're doing. You know,
they're locked in fear. Yeah, they're having a fear shadow really consume them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they're locked in the shadow of fear, they can't even find themselves, and their actions get motivated instead of from their heart, from their, and we all lose because these powerful individuals could lead everything through their heart, mind, but with the eclipse of the fear shadow over their heart, none of that gets out to reach anybody, right? Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
It really is. And it's sad for most of us. For those two guys, I really don't care. You know, it's like the rest of us that are Again, I'm talking victim, that victim mode.
We become victimized by them. But think about how we can't just think about the current throne holders of that shadow, because I'm trying to be like, look, this has been going on for a long time, right?
Exactly.
How many of these shadow kings are we going to have to deal with?
Are we ever going to learn?
We can raise up awareness of these things to somehow, I don't claim to know what the answer is, but I do feel like if we can raise our awareness as a collective up, maybe that's a good start, you know, so that we can stop these cycles.
Right. Do you see any stop in astrology? Do you see any hope there?
I always do see hope, but I try to also look at it in terms of like patterns, so that almost like it doesn't need to be emotional. We have to like look at it, right? And see, so we can discern, but it's hard to remove the emotions, especially if you've been directly victimized, right?
Sure.
You're just not going to be able to do that.
Right.
But I do feel like in terms of the astrology stuff that's happening, we have Pluto shifting signs, right? He's going to be heading into Aquarius out of Capricorn. So since Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, it's all the patriarchs went into total fear these last, like, I don't know, whatever. When Pluto went into Capricorn, I think it was 2007 or 2008, if memory serves. And that's when all of them kind of just rose up into their...
That was also when the world economy came.
Correct. Collapsed.
Yes.
Capricorn is banking energy. Patriarchs is ruled by Saturn, right? So we saw, because it's Pluto, that's the underworld, right? The Hades, the all of that stuff.
Hidden.
And so Pluto, now he's shifting. He's shifting now into Aquarius, which is more humanitarian, community focused, right? Less like competition based. I'm hoping what we'll see is more people with that Aquarius energy, which can also, of course, be technology, kind of is Aquarian, revolutionary, rebel. It's the revolutionary force against the king is the kind of energy of Aquarius. So I'm hoping there'll be more open sourcing of information, more like sharing, more gathering, people coming together in communities, more like humanitarian focus rather than the king's winning. So I'm hoping.
I see a loss of community, you know, of even drivers understanding that other drivers need to get into that lane.
Oh, yeah. You know? Everyone's for themselves, right?
Yeah,
when we are
it's
divided.
It's like a loss of community. Yeah.
If we divide each other based on these. And also, like, why should I help them? I'm also suffering kind of justification. Right?
I'm here now, so I don't care about you.
Why am I going to help them? I'm also suffering. So the more we get divided into these polarities, people like you are seeing is a loss of community, because there's no incentive for people to connect, because they lose perspective, right?
But some of it, I'm going back to traffic, because I was
it's
driving
real.
Yesterday and seeing this.
I'm in LA.
So on one side, you've got a cement wall and your lane is ending because it's a merge lane. And the person on the left side isn't going to let you in.
They won't move.
Yeah. What do they think is going to happen here?
It's
shocking. Either I'm going to hit the cement wall or I'm going to hit you.
Correct.
So
shocking
don't they
negligence.
Realize that they're in danger, you know, of being hit, because
I feel like sometimes too they aren't even aware they're in a giant machine hurtling through space at it's like some kind of like entitlement
it's an entitlement,
think this is my, you hear people say my lane,
Right.
And I'm like, your lane? This is the road, yeah. Man.
But how do
hundreds
they think
of
it's
thousands
end
of people
up, though, whether it's your lane or not your lane, how do you think this is going to end up? This is going to end up in damage.
Correct.
To other people, but also to you.
To
and
yourself.
They can't seem to, even self-centered, they can't seem to see the future of damage to them. Like that
is
doesn't matter.
The weirdest part,
that,
I feel
me
like.
Too. Yeah,
to
that's
me,
exactly,
you know,
what I think.
Where
that's the weirdest.
They have no sense of attachment to life, even, or they're dissociating, maybe.
I don't know what
don't
it is, because in their own safety. For their own safety. They should.
I've been with
least,
my children in the car when I had those exact same things, just the merge situation. Yeah. And I just usually, you know, then you have to like break to get in behind them, because I realize, well, they're not going to do anything.
Right.
At
You're
all.
You're hitting your brake on a highway.
Oh, I lay on my horn too. I do the long honk. I'm a long honker. I just don't let it go.
Yeah.
Just to let them know that I don't appreciate the danger that they've placed
me
in.
But they don't even
see. They think I'm crazy right now.
You know?
They just think, oh, that crazy lady.
It's
right?
Like
I'm
they
sure.
don't get it. So, you know, if we can say, okay, it's selfishness, but let's bring it down to you and your tiny little world.
Yeah.
You are in danger doing this.
They're putting them.
They
it's
don't
suicidal.
Get that.
It's suicidal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the part I can't get. I can't understand.
I cannot understand it either. But I think that it's like they, like you said, they have to be ignorant.
Right.
Or they have no awareness, right? So their awareness level is so far down, they don't even think that they could be in danger, right?
Yes.
Because they just have taken for granted that they're some kind of bulletproof, macho situation where they are only there and the rest of the world doesn't exist or something.
Yeah,
right?
But aren't we wired to survive? I mean, isn't there something that should pop
some
up
kicking
there
in,
say,
right?
Yeah, wired to survive, and it's not there. It's just not there.
It's gone. I agree. Right. We see it a lot, right? People do that with health stuff. People do it with diet stuff. Where it's similar, right? If we're driving recklessly, people know something is bad for their body or bad for the environment, but they'll just do that too. And on all the levels. So they just, I think, have thrown up their hands and maybe are just like exhausted.
It makes
of thinking.
Me wonder if our circuitry to survive, which to me is at the basic level, you know, nature to me, there are two things to nature: reproduction and it'll kill you. Those are the two. Reproduction. And survival, but you know, but it'll kill you.
There's also suicide and the destructive element, which I talk about. So in nature, we see suicidal animals as well. So this, it goes against logic, like you're saying, right? That there, why would, like I always think, why would, if you have a peanut allergy, why would your body rather die than eat a peanut, right? It's something that makes no sense, no logical sense, right? But in nature, we see this too. And actually Sigmund Freud talked about this, how as humans, we have a life instinct and a death instinct. We have a life instinct that wants to live, that wants to survive. And then we have a kind of like destroyer, which is like the Oppenheimer, right? Part of us that's just going to kill it all, right?
And self-destructive. We see people
self-destruction as well. Yeah. They'll find that penguins, I give this example in the book, sometimes a penguin will, instead of going with all the other penguins, it'll just, for they can't figure out, it'll just sometimes go off into the mountains and die in a like suicidal decision to just like kind of poetically go off alone into this you know, freezing death instead of going with its life instinct. And they can't figure out what would cause some animals to make that decision or species to make that decision. But the fact
we do
is,
see parasites, though, that
parasites will
take over and have you do things like that.
Yes.
Or I've seen, some societies, when they're old or when they're ill, they will go off.
Yes.
To die in peace, I guess. You know, I'm not quite
right.
sure
yeah.
myself.
I know that has, or just like, sometimes people are just tired of pain too.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Becomes the death seeking thing. Mm-hmm. And most right. of, you know, my experiences and folks I work with, like a lot of that, when people get in there, it's not even a destructive thing, like I said,
mm-hmm.
But more just like, not wanting pain anymore. So
right,
that's
right.
there too.
A
but-
better choice is really, you know, at that point you're looking at it differently and it's a better choice.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right. And
yeah.
it's a choice they have control over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's their yeah. choice. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah
their choice.
Exactly.
So it's complicated for sure, but I do think that if we don't recognize and raise our death instinct or our mm-hmm. destructive side into our awareness, if people don't understand that we all wield a
right.
destructive force, right,
mm-hmm.
As well as a creative force, they'll be ignorant of the consequences when they indulge or have their destructive instinct take over.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they
we
better hurry up
it.
Because we're starting to see some real destructive forces.
Especially in like teenagers or youths, mm-hmm. right? That haven't really wrangled that part of them and there's nothing
right.
in culture.
And
to-
they think they're not finite. They're infinite. You know,
bulletproof. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
it takes you a while to realize, you know, well into your 20s, 30s to realize, oh my God.
Death is real. That's
yeah,
right.
I'm not going to last forever. And I'm not, you know, as you said, bulletproof. Things can happen to me, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they're not helped through those experiences. And they're like, it's a real initiation part mm-hmm. of their lives too, where all of this comes into focus and they're just kind of left to whatever media is available in their searches, or they're, you know, they get led down a path that takes them to indulge their destructive force so they can feel it, and then they suffer consequences from
mm-hmm.
it.
And
right?
then they learn. And then they learn.
Right.
But you know what? I just glanced at the time. We just went off.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Like,
we were like,
oh, wait a minute. I loved it, though, because I'm looking at these people thinking, are we in an evolutionary pattern where, you know, we're just going to start dying young? Or what is mm-hmm. this? Yeah.
Yeah.
But let me, one thing that got me in this that surprised me is you said the darkness is feminine.
Yes.
And you know, all of us want feminine to be the light.
Yes.
You know, well, most of us, let me say most of us, but you said the feminine is the darkness, is the earth, is the, let, you take it, you take
yes.
it.
Yes. It's so good today to mm-hmm. talk about the dark that is in feminine energy, because today is the day to celebrate the goddess Cybele. Cybele is one of the pagan goddesses of the caves, of the earth, of fecundity, of that fertile place. It's mm-hmm. the people, I think we all want to be thought of as light and not dark, right?
Right,
so we want
right.
this.
And we think if we bring the darkness into the light, it'll dissipate. It'll go away. That's
but we
not
need
necessarily
darkness.
True.
We need a certain amount of darkness because
yeah.
that's where we get still, where we get quiet, where we stop moving. And if you think about how things get created, it needs that force, right? That drive, but it needs a place to grow, which is like a womb or a cave that is dark and still, where it can be safe
mm-hmm.
and it can be nurtured and it can be, you know, kept still to be itself. And that is feminine energy, which is where in all of the esoteric literature, the goddesses are below the earth. They're called chthonic, is the word, right? The chthonic goddesses. And they're the ones that give birth to everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, if we look at our own galaxy, at the center of our galaxy is theoretically a supermassive black hole. So the place where galaxies are born in our universe that we know so far with science is that they are born through black holes. Talk about dark feminine energy. The darkness of feminine energy is potentiality. In the darkness holds the possibility of all things to come forth and be born, like a black hole. And that dark matter, right? In science, they talk about the dark matter, which makes up, I think it's like 90% of the universe is what their current estimates are. And those are all like enfolded potentialities where the idea that we can reproduce or have reproduction is enfolded into that darkness because it has to arise from somewhere. And then that divine masculine energy is the kind of rocket to propel it to come into being out of the darkness.
So it's a push against, and you talk about that in your book, that we have to have the darkness to push against.
We do, or there would be no matter, right? None of us would exist if we hadn't had that space to be still, to grow. Matter is dense, right? It's not just, everything couldn't be light because we wouldn't have, you know, substance. There wouldn't be anything substantial.
I have to go back to the destructive part for a minute.
Yes, please.
Is the Earth, when I say the Earth, I mean the civilizations as well as the actual Earth. Are we in a time period of shadow, facing our shadows?
Yes. So one of my spiritual teachers, not mine, but a spiritual teacher that I, right, we have to watch our possessive language.
Yeah.
It doesn't belong to me. But Dr. Kelvin DeWolf, who is a Mi'kmaq Native American, he says we are in a period of destruction. So where the destructive force is stronger. So if you think about scales, right? And we are on these scales of creative force, destructive force. So, and this is talked about in like, for those of you familiar with the Kali Yuga cycles, this is talked about by a lot of folks, this idea that we're going through a cycle of that destructive shadow. So as we are transitioning out of this Kali Yuga, I guess would be a good language to use, and folks can look it up and do more research of their own. We're coming into that confrontation with our shadows and destructive force before it goes into the next cycle, which will be a creative cycle, right? It the scales are always trying to seek balance, right? So if we go too far destructo, it's going to recalibrate with the creative forces. So I feel like we're now in this liminal pocket between coming out of the destructive cycle into the creative one, but we've not quite crossed the threshold yet.
When right? will it be? When will we start to come more into the non-destructive or the, you know?
I'm hoping it'll be in my lifetime so I get to see it and participate. But
then it's not next year.
I think that there will be continued increments of raising awareness and coming up. So I don't think we're going to go back the other way. It's my opinion. Maybe some folks will disagree with me, but I feel like we're going to keep ratcheting up towards the awareness level. Fingers crossed.
I'm sure you're reading on the internet, everybody, April 8th, oh my God, World War III, all horrible things.
Well, eclipse. Yeah. So we can talk about that. I mean. Absolutely. So even astrologically.
You got about 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, this eclipse, the solar eclipse is in Aries. Aries is a war sign. So I feel like a lot of people are talking about it that way. But Aries is also like spring energy and that new beginning, right? So could go either way, I think, you know?
See, every time I look at it, I see a, it's almost like the leaders sit down and say, are we really going to go here? You know, do we really want to destroy everything? Are we really going to go here and decide not to? Now, I have to admit, it's hard to be neutral.
It is, when I'm looking
at this, it's hard to be neutral and to know that I'm coming from a neutral place because I'm pretty attached to what's going to happen.
We all are. We have to hold a space for for some growth and evolution. So maybe everyone during the eclipse could try to hold that new beginning space where we could like something new could happen, a new decision, a better decision.
Go into the stillness for the rebirth.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to end it on that note. That's a great note. But I want to say we only touched on your book. There is so much in there. And then they're also in there. People can go through and look themselves up as well.
Yes.
Which is, you know, what everybody wants. So when is your book out now, or where can
it's out the 9th? So the day after the eclipse,
it will be released.
But people can pre-order pretty much everywhere, Amazon, Barnes and Noble. I like bookshop.org. If you don't like Amazon and you want to support bookshops, you can go on there and get it as well.
And then as well into their local metaphysical store as well as bookstores.
That's right. Yes.
For the local business. And can you tell everybody where they can get hold of you and what you have coming up?
Yeah, I'm on Besides Witch the of the Dawn. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. I have a lot of books, like you said.
You do have a lot. Actually, I stopped because the first 15 minutes would have been a recitation of your book.
I can be found at witchofthedawn.com. And usually if you just Google my name, too, it'll show up, Maja Daou. And you can look up Astrology of the Shadow Self online, and that'll usually take you to me, too. But yeah, on my website, I list all of my books. I have an Amazon author page, so people can find me pretty easy.
Okay. And you also will have private sessions?
I do. I do private sessions. People can email me at maja@goddessmyboyfriend.com to set up a session.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for being on. I loved our conversation. We needed another couple hours.
I know. It was so easy speaking with you, Barb. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, you followed my tangents very well. But we did. I enjoyed it, though, because there are questions I have, and I'm sure we all have. Yeah,
we do. Yes, indeed.
So thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for Metaphysics, A View Through the Veil. Please tune in for another edition with your host, Barb Crowley, next Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Enjoy your upcoming weekend.